Welcome. You are listening to Our Burning Questions, a professional learning podcast where we ask brilliant educators everything you've ever wondered about teaching English language learners. I'm your host, Liesl Koop. I'm an ENL teacher and resource specialist with the Mid-State Regional Bilingual Education Resource Network in Syracuse, New York. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, we are here for the very first episode, the introductory episode of Our Burning Questions. This is our podcast where we address the questions of teachers in our region that relate to supporting English language learners. My name is Liesl. I am your host. I am an ENL teacher, and I am joined here today by my friend and colleague, Diane Stevenson. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Liesl. Thanks for having me on here.
Thanks for agreeing to be on. For the listeners, we're going to kind of do this backwards than the other episodes will be. Diane is going to ask me some questions, whereas in the other episodes that you listen to, you'll hear me asking all of our burning questions to our guests. So this episode is an opportunity just for everybody to figure out why the heck are we doing a podcast and who's going to be on it and all of those juicy details. So I'm going to start first by asking Diane a few questions. Diane, can you tell us a little bit about what your current role is, what you do with English language learners right now?
All right. Well, I am currently teaching at Rome Free Academy, and I teach 9 through 12, mostly focused on 11th and 12th graders. I have taught K through 12, but I prefer the high school, and I've been there for 10 years now. I co-teach U.S. history. I think this is my seventh year co-teaching U.S. history. I co-teach ELA 11. I co-teach algebra. I co-teach government and economics. And then I have my own standalone ENL course as well. So it's busy.
Yeah, you know, just a couple things that you're doing, you know, here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm also teacher coordinator, and I have been for at least 7 or 8 years, I can't remember, of the ENL department in Rome.
Awesome. I feel like a lot of ENL teachers can relate to the number of things you just listed that are on your plate right now.
Absolutely. We're all stretched thin.
That's right. Do you have any areas of special interest or research when it comes to working with ELLs?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's changed over the years. I feel like when I first got into teaching ELLs, my undergraduate was in French linguistics. So I had a major in French with a linguistics track. I ended up teaching Spanish for a year, never taught French, and went back and got my master's in ESL. And the reason I went back was I just have a love for linguistics and grammar. I know it's weird, but I love grammar. And so I think when I first got into ENL, it was more of an interest in the challenges that come along with trying to navigate from one language to another, and how do you use the native language to help with acquisition of the new language. However, I think as my population has changed, the population in Rome has changed quite a bit over the years. It has changed into more equity and access. And so how, you know, sometimes I feel like our students and their families don't fit into our educational system in the United States. And so how can we make sure that our students are getting the right access and the right amount of equity in our learning? And I also have an interest in their more social emotional health. And I feel like that's where I feel like I want to research a little bit more.
That's great. And I think that you're going to be really excited about some of the guests that are going to be on the podcast.
I can't wait to hear.
I don't know. I might keep it a secret.
No, you can't. Then people won't come back.
I don't know. If I make it sound enticing enough, maybe they will.
All right. Well, now I'm going to turn it on you. So, you know, you've obviously been working with ELLs. Can you tell us a little bit about your role and how you came into your role and, you know, what drew you to working with ELLs?
Sure. I am also an ENL teacher, and I've taught English language learners from pre-K to adulthood. I've spent most of my time, like you, teaching at the high school level, and that's actually, for our listeners, where Diane and I met and where we got to work together, which was an awesome experience. My current role is as a resource specialist and teacher trainer with Mid-State Auburn, the producers of this podcast, and I get to do professional learning sessions for teachers, so I get to design them with my team and facilitate them with my team, and we do some coaching. We work with the Office of Bilingual Education and World Languages so that we're kind of an extension of what they provide to the state to support teachers of English language learner of teachers of English language learners and of world languages. So my main focus has been over the past couple of years helping my team to develop professional learning and to answer any kind of questions that teachers have about policies, regulations, instructional strategies. And one of the things that I've really loved doing is some instructional coaching, which has been really fun for me to learn how to do. And it has been kind of a learning experience for myself, learning what kind of teacher I am. So I get to do a lot of things. It's really fun. And I was drawn to working with English language learners when I became an exchange student when I was a teenager. So I lived for a year in Thailand through the Rotary Youth Exchange Program, which is an incredible opportunity for kids who are high schoolers to go to another country and live for an extended period of time with families. It was there that I realized I was really interested in languages. I took, you know, the foreign language in high school, and it was pretty easy for me, but it wasn't deep enough, I thought. So when I was an exchange student, I realized, oh, languages are really cool. So when I went back to the US and went to college, my undergrad degree was in linguistics. So that was when I realized, like, there are so many facets of language that I didn't know about. And what I realized as I was going through my undergrad was that what I loved about language was learning about the people who use them and how they use the languages and how does language influence the way we think and vice versa. So that was what drew me back to getting my master's in TESOL, and I started teaching, and then I ended up here.
And we're glad you're here.
Thanks. I am too.
So Lisa, where can people find you?
In terms of L-related content, Twitter is a good place to find me. I follow a lot of really amazing educators on Twitter, and I like to retweet them. Not necessarily that my own content is super informative, but that is the best place to find me. And my Twitter handle is at glass floors, like instead of glass ceilings, glass floors. And you can find me on the Auburn website, which will link with this podcast. I'm there. My email address is there, so people can contact me that way.
Awesome. Now I'm going to turn this around on you and start to ask you some more questions.
Okay. I got to know what it feels like for the guests, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Turn the tables. All right. So Lisa, why a podcast and why now?
All right. So as you know, right now, when we're recording this episode, there is a global pandemic happening, and we're all learning really quickly that we need to change the way that we're teaching and the way that we're learning. So the podcast idea actually was tossed around between me and another friend and colleague, Dr. Paulina White, who will be a guest on the podcast, quite a few months ago, talking about where can we just have conversations about things that matter to teachers of L's? And we were like, hey, a podcast. And now with the support and encouragement of my supervisor, Tanya Rosado-Berringer, and the rest of the Auburn networks, we are finally getting to do it, which is super exciting. So why a podcast? It seems like a really accessible way for teachers to get information that directly relates to what they're doing with their kids in their classroom without having to leave the classroom, without having to sit down in front of a computer for hours to do an online course. It just seems like a new way to get some professional learning in a medium that's maybe a little bit more accessible.
I love podcasts personally. I always listen to them when I'm running or when I'm out walking, just to kind of escape. And I love having, you know, new and fresh things to listen to and, you know, learn from. So I'm excited about it.
Good. I hope that there are many people who feel the same way you do. I'll definitely be tweeting out when new episodes come in. So yeah, I hope that people find it accessible and useful.
Awesome. Now, what will it be about?
It's going to be about a lot of things, but it's all going to center around the students and families that we serve. So each episode will be revolving around a question or a set of questions that teachers have asked us repeatedly about serving L's and their families. This is why we call it our burning questions, because everybody's asking a lot of the same questions, and we want to share that information as widely as possible and share information from expert sources, expert authors, expert educators. And we are so excited that so many people that we've reached out to have said yes. So what's it going to be about? Let me give you a couple of topics that we are working on. We will have an episode about equity and resilience for educators of L's.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm so excited. We are going to have an episode about supporting L's specifically in science. We're going to have our colleague, Dr. Paulina White, talking about standards-based practices for L's. We have the topic of collegiality and collaboration among teachers of L's. We have so many great topics, multiliteracy, different types of discourse, bilingual education, and supporting bilingual families. I'm just so excited about the people who are going to come and talk about these things and share their wealth of knowledge.
I can't wait. So you said it was for teachers of L's. Is there any other, you know, audience that you think would, you know, benefit from this podcast?
Yeah, so we were really intentional about saying that it's for teachers of L's and not for ENL teachers or ESOL teachers, because just like we see in the state's blueprint for L success, the first principle is that all teachers are teachers of L's. And so this podcast is for all teachers. Anybody who has ever worked with a student who's linguistically diverse, and even if you haven't, these topics are still going to be really fascinating, and you're going to hear from people who have done research in this field for years or who have this deep vested interest and knowledge about these topics. So any teacher, maybe even parents, they might like it too. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Awesome. So when will this air?
A new episode is going to air every week. So you can look for those on our webpage when they post. We're aiming for a release of a new episode every week.
Great. And so you've alluded to some of the guests. You've talked about Dr. Paulina White, who I'm really excited about.
Yes.
But you said there are some other big names that might be coming. Could you give us a little, you know, hint into who might be coming?
I don't know. I kind of want to keep it a surprise, but I'm just like bursting about how excited I am about it. So I guess I'll tell you.
Give us a couple.
Okay.
Just give us a couple.
I'm really excited to have a conversation about equity and resilience with Elena Aguilar, the author of Art of Coaching and Art of Coaching Teams and Onward, which is about cultivating emotional resilience for educators. I am absolutely fangirling about that episode. I cannot wait to share that with everybody.
I think I have a couple of her books sitting on my dining room table right now, so I'm excited too.
I'm really excited. We have Dr. Laura Becker, the president of NICE TESOL, will be talking to us about collegiality and building those kind of professional connections as teachers of L's. So that's going to be a great conversation. We have two of the foremost authors and researchers when it comes to co-teaching, Dr. Andrea Honigsfeld and Dr. Maria Dove. As I'm saying this, like, I can't believe these people said yes.
I can't either, because I've, you know, done a lot of their trainings and read a lot of their books, and I can't believe it's actually like we're going to have access to them. Like,
yeah, I'm so grateful that everyone is so willing to share. I feel like that's really what teaching is about and learning is about, like just being so open to sharing. I'm really excited. I'm not going to tell you all the names, but
okay.
It's going to be awesome.
You gave us some good ones. It makes me want to come back. So
yeah, and the rest are just as amazing. I just can't believe that people have agreed to come and talk to me about this.
I can.
Stuff.
You're awesome. So what if I want to be a guest again, or know someone who would be an amazing guest? How could I, you know, get that information to you?
That is vital information for this podcast, and we need people like you to share that information. So if you want to be a guest and you know what you want to talk about, you can send us an email, and that'll be linked right with the podcast, the contact information. Same for if you have somebody you think would be an awesome guest. Like, look, no star is too far away, okay? Just send in your requests, and I will be the one who asks these people to come on, because this is all about what our teachers need and what they want, and the topics that they want to hear discussed with the people who are doing the work in the field. So they can just use our email contact, which will be with the podcast on our page.
Great. So if I have something, like, I don't know who I want you to talk to, but I have something that I, you know, really want to hear about, or I want to know more about, I can use that email as well.
Exactly. Yep. That contact information will be right with where the podcast is posted. So if there's a topic that you want us to address that you haven't heard us mention yet, please let us know, because this is a podcast for the teachers in our region, exactly for what they need and want. So it's all about them. I want to make it for them.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm already thinking of questions.
Good. Okay. I'm going to turn the tables on you now. I want your opinion as a representative of teachers in our region. I want to know, what do you think makes learning or a learning opportunity innovative? And I want to know what you think about that when we're talking about kids learning, and also when we're talking about teachers learning. What makes something innovative?
That's a tough question. You know, I think our system, I talk about our system all the time, but I feel like our school system, the way that it has been in the past, has not always lent itself to students being innovative. However, I do think that's changing. I think that people know that we need to offer different settings and different venues for students and teachers to learn and to display their learning. And I think a lot of the things that work for students are going to work for teachers as well. I think students and teachers directing their own learning by setting goals, monitoring their own progress, reflecting and redirecting their own learning targets, is really important. I think when you have buy-in, you know, it's hard sometimes when teachers are told to go to a PD. I don't know. I feel like it's like this at every school, but you know, when you're told you have to do something and you don't really have buy-in, there's not a whole lot of learning that goes on. So I think if teachers are able to direct their own learning and find different pathways to use that learning, it's going to be way more innovative. I think teachers need to be flexible and adaptive with their instruction of students, just like teachers of teachers need to be adaptive with their instruction to create innovation. They need to be forced to use critical thinking skills. I think that we need to give different opportunities for the display of the learning, like I said before. So, you know, how do we create a comfortable environment where people are willing to try different things and maybe have flexibility in the output of this information? So for example, if a student or a teacher feels more comfortable trying a Twitter platform or trying to, you know, make a podcast like this, like something like this is way more appealing to me personally as a learner and as a teacher than writing an essay or doing a, you know, online course. It's hard for me to sit down and focus. Mm-hmm. But if I listen to a podcast and I can respond to that, I'm still learning. I'm just doing it in a different manner. Mm-hmm. So I think just giving them different platforms of intake, of input, and of output is really important to create innovation.
Thank you for that. I feel like we hear the word a lot and we're not 100% sure what it means. And I think the definition really comes from the learner, just like you described. It's about what's going to work for this learner, whether they're a child or an adult.
It's different for all of us, you know?
Yeah. This has been a definite learning challenge over the past few weeks as we've entered into some stay-at-home time, trying to stop the spread of this illness. What are some ways you think teachers can maintain connections with their L students and their families right now?
Oh, this has been, a really tough time. And as I talked about in the beginning of this podcast, you know, a lot of schools or districts or parents are so worried about, you know, losing learning time. And yes, students will regress during this time as far as the language skills that they've learned throughout the year. But for me personally, I think it's really important that these students and their families' basic needs are met, just like during the school year. And especially with, you know, people getting laid off from their jobs, kids being home all day long, you know, where you used to have to only feed them dinner, you've now got to feed them breakfast and lunch as well. Are their basic needs met? So as far as how you get connected, I think you have to try every way possible other than, you know, going in their houses, because we're not supposed to do that right now.
Right.
I've used talking points to connect with families a lot in the past. A lot of my students, I'm lucky in the high school, we've already been connected through Google Classroom throughout the school year and through email. So I'm able to email my students directly. I know a lot of the elementary teachers have reached out to families, have FaceTimed to help them get on Google Classroom so they can show them their computers. I think you have to, we're talking innovation, I think you have to be innovative in how you connect with them. It doesn't matter how, you just have to do it.
Right.
And then once you connect, you know, using whatever platform works, you need to first make sure their basic needs are met. I mean, whether you're reaching out to the community foundations, we have connected community schools, they, you know, can do food pantry deliveries or they can come pick up food. Like, you need to figure out what works for your families that you're helping. Because even though we're not in with them, we're still advocates and we need to make sure that their basic needs are met. Now, once you make sure that's done, you know, I have students who've been reaching out to me, you know, through Google Docs. They'll send me something that they want me to look at and edit. And we're very comfortable with that platform. I can comment, and they can, you know, comment back. We can work on their papers. I have a student FaceTiming me for a lab, you know, she sent me pictures and then we're going to FaceTime and talk about it. So I don't think there's a certain way that you need to stay connected, but you need to make sure that you're connected and that these families know that you care, you know, even when you're at your home.
I think that this is a sentiment that we've all heard echoed across all the 126 districts that we serve as an Arburn, just people trying to figure it out. In keeping kids at the forefront, I think that pretty much everybody would agree with you that we got to make sure our kids are safe and that their needs are met before we even worry about the learning. So of course teachers are still doing incredible things. I know my own son's teacher is posting things early in the morning and late at night, and she's just incredible, but I really, just now that I'm out of the classroom, I just hope that I express enough how much I appreciate teachers who are still in the classroom, because it's a lot. I remember. And even now navigating this, I just feel like even more amazed by teachers. So thank you for what you do.
Well, thanks for having me on. You know, I think it's, for me, it's been an easier transition because I used a lot of this technology in the past. You know, I've used extensions, I've used So for me, I'm using the same tools that I would normally use in a classroom, just a little bit more.
Right.
But hopefully we can, you know, as a community, share those tools, because some of us have been using them, some of us haven't. There's mm-hmm. tools out there I haven't used. So I don't know, maybe that's a future podcast.
I think that's a great idea, which kind of leads me to my final question for you.
Oh, great.
Well, the question was about people, but it could also be about topics. If you could interview anyone on a podcast for Teachers of L's, such as this one, who would you interview and why?
I think I would want to interview L's themselves going through this. I would want to interview former L's because they know what worked and what didn't work. And they're in the workforce now, or they're, you know, post high school. So maybe they could tell us something. And I know you told me one, but I have another one. And maybe the parents of L's, like, I would love to see or to hear from them, and understand, you know, where their struggles lie and what works best for them. Because I think to move forward, we need to identify the problem areas. We all have, I think there's so many great ideas out there. There's so many, you know, it's almost like we're inundated with information and options and, but like, until we know what works and what doesn't work, you know, how do we know what to choose?
Right.
So that's what I would want. I want to hear from them.
And that really comes back to what you were talking about earlier with innovative learning experiences being designed for the learner individually. And I think it's the same for our kids and for their families. We have to know our families, and we have to elevate their voices in order to find out what is it they need to really feel like they belong to the school community. I think I love that idea. And we probably have to look into some Ed Law 2D stuff there to get kids on the podcast.
But, true, true.
We will look into it. We will see what we can do. I love that idea. I think that's such a great idea to really hear the voices of the people that we say we serve, because if we're not uplifting their voices, then there's no point in doing what we're doing.
Exactly. If they can be anonymous, I don't know. I'm sure you'll figure something out.
We will look into it. We will start researching for sure. Diane, thank you so much for just having this quick conversation with me to introduce this podcast. I'm really excited about it, and I'm really glad that you were here to introduce it with me.
I am too. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And I'm sure that we will hear you again on another episode.
Oh, I'll be back.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. If you would like to learn more about the brilliant guests we had on today's episode or any of the resources we discussed, please find those on our webpage. This podcast is produced by Midstate Arburn at OCM BOCES, and our theme music is Sunbeam from Purple Planet Music. We hope that you'll tune in next time for more of Our Burning Questions.